Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
I love how that story that Tiffany just read for us ends. No one got much sleep that night. How many of you would just admit it's really hard for you to get a good night's rest, to get good sleep the night before Christmas? Christmas Eve is a hard time to go to sleep. Yeah, a lot of you. Our kids are having a hard time because of the excitement, the anticipation of presents. Our adults are having a hard time because it never fails. There's so much to do on Christmas Eve. It's mind-boggling. And then you're trying to stay merry when you read the words, you know, assembly required. It's hard to get good rest the night before Christmas. And I guess that's not really unusual. I think that's been happening since the very first Christmas. I mean, I don't know of really anybody who got a great night's sleep even at the first Christmas. Think about how many people lost sleep at Christmas. Can you think of anybody? Who's somebody that would have lost sleep at Christmas? Mary would have lost some sleep. Who else would have lost sleep at Christmas? Joseph would have lost some sleep. Yeah, let's just walk through the characters who would have lost sleep at Christmas. In fact, let's start with Joseph. Joseph lost sleep that first Christmas. When you think about Joseph, you have to know that he was an honorable man, a righteous man. And Joseph grew up in a culture where honor and respect was highly valued. The worst thing that could happen, the most insulting thing, was to be shamed, even much more so than our culture today. And so when Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant with child before they were married, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Any one of you who have been through a relationship breakup, you understand you don't sleep well, do you? You toss and you turn and you're emotionally wrecked and in pain. Joseph was going through all of that. And then you add to that this dream that he had. It's recorded for us in Scripture, the night that the angel came to him in a dream. It's in Matthew chapter 1. And it says, "But after he had considered this, divorcing Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." How many of you have had a dream that felt so real that when you woke up, you were just worn out, exhausted, maybe sweating because you were like running away from somebody? Who knows? How many of you had a dream like that that felt so real, you just felt like this thing really happened? And anytime you have a dream like that, I've had one like that before, I did not wake up feeling refreshed. It was not a good night's sleep. When you're in that intense dream state, you don't wake up feeling refreshed. You wake up feeling exhausted, tired, and usually mad at somebody for something they didn't do. You just dreamed it. But it felt so real. Imagine Joseph. This wasn't a dream like what you and I have had. This was God communicating through an angel directly to Joseph. And when Joseph awoke, he knew this was no ordinary dream. God had a word from him, a message for him. And when Joseph received this message, he obeyed that word. Joseph didn't get much sleep that night. Joseph was exhausted. He was tired. But there's some good news in this. Because Joseph obeyed what the angel had said, Joseph may have lost sleep, but he found Jesus. Joseph becomes the father, the earthly father to the Messiah, to Emmanuel, to God with us, to the Prince of Peace, the everlasting father, becomes his son. Joseph saw Jesus born into this world with his own eyes. Joseph saw that, and he didn't get much sleep that night. And I'll tell you who else didn't get much sleep that night. Mary didn't get much sleep that first Christmas. How many of you moms in the room can testify? How many of you would say yes, that a new mom with a new baby does not get much sleep? And all the moms say, yes. Some said yes and some just said amen because they spiritualized it. Which simply means let it be. It's true. Moms don't get sleep. In fact, in our earlier service, April and Eric Griffin were sitting right over here, right where you guys are. And they were sitting there with their twins. No, not the ones that were just born, the other twins that they have. The other twins are still at the hospital. They ain't getting much sleep right now. Moms are desperate for sleep. Joseph and Mary were exhausted. Mary didn't get much sleep, first of all, because of a long journey. Second of all, because she had a baby. First, the long journey. Luke 2, beginning verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Mary did not get sleep that first Christmas. First of all, because of the journey. A 90-mile journey that a team that travels to Sepphoris near Nazareth. They travel there and they do excavation projects. They said the journey is actually very difficult to go from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. It's a grueling trip. They travel south along the flatlands of the Jordan River and then west over the hills surrounding Jerusalem and on into Bethlehem. It's not an easy trip, and Mary is making it 9 months pregnant. That's why most pictures of that first Christmas has Mary on a donkey traveling to Bethlehem. Not because the Bible says that, because people are just, how would someone in their ninth month of pregnancy make that kind of a journey? It'd be very difficult to make. She's not getting sleep. She's tired. She's worn out. She's exhausted. They get to Bethlehem. There's no room for them in the guest room. And so then they're putting more primitive quarters where Jesus is born. And when Jesus is born, as parents, we know we don't get sleep. My brother and his wife, Bree, just had their twins a week ago. In fact, I got to see them yesterday. This is Wyatt and Mia, 4 pounds, a little over 4 pounds. She was about 2 pounds, 15 ounces. Tiny. Rick and Bree are not getting sleep right now. The feedings and caring for these babies and everything that goes into it. Mary lost sleep as a mother who was caring for this child, changing his diaper, feeding him, rocking him to sleep. But here's the good news. Mary lost sleep, but Mary found Jesus. She may have lost sleep, but she found Jesus. You know who else didn't sleep very well that first Christmas? The shepherds lost sleep that first Christmas. The shepherds. Luke chapter 2 records their story, and it says this. It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. So an angel comes to the shepherds at night. That means they're not sleeping. They're night watchmen. They're watching over sheep. The thousands and thousands of sheep that were in the hills of Judea around Jerusalem and Bethlehem because they were used for the Passover sacrifices. Nearly a million of them would be slaughtered for those sacrifices. And so the shepherds are raising these sheep and they're doing what shepherds do out in the fields. No sleep for their eyes, no little blankies, no little pillows to lay their heads down. They're keeping watch over their flocks at night. Maybe some other people are sleeping. They're not sleeping. And an angel tells these watchmen where they can find the Messiah, the Savior. where to find Jesus? In Bethlehem. And so off they go, Luke 2:16. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, keyword, found. They found him. They found the Messiah. They found Jesus. They may have lost sleep, but the good news is they found Jesus. You know who else lost sleep? I know it says that first Christmas. They weren't there for the first Christmas, but the Magi lost sleep. The Magi lost sleep over Christmas. Magi were wise men, magicians, advisors to the king. They're highly educated in the areas of astronomy, astrology, science, religion. They would have been called on to interpret dreams for their king. And they're from the east, so they had to make this long journey. In fact, they don't get to Bethlehem until Jesus is a toddler, not when he's an infant. They're following a star. They're likely from Persia, Babylon. And we read in Matthew 2, 1 through 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and we've come to worship him." They're following a star. This is the first Star Trek. That's what it is. They're on a journey following a star, this Star Trek, because they likely had heard of the prophecies, the prophecy of Daniel. You know where Daniel lived, don't you? Babylon. The prophecy of Daniel about the anointed one, the one who would come. Perhaps the prophecy from Numbers chapter 24 that a star would come out of Jacob. And so they're on this journey to find the king of the Jews. And in this map of their journey, which is the likely route, there are some who have followed the footsteps of this journey to retrace the steps of the wise men. This is the journey they believe that they would have taken. It's around 1,000 miles. Would have taken them 3 to 4 months to do this at least. They probably would have used horses to cross over the mountains and the rocky terrain, switching to camels once they reached the desert. They likely traveled along the main trade route of the era at that era. This meant they would have gone along the Euphrates River up through what is now Iraq. They would have crossed over the harsh and desolate Syrian desert, passed through the lush Jordan Valley, arrived after a journey of about 4 months at the gates of Jerusalem. They would have seen the harsh and barren deserts, the lush green hills and mountains and rivers, and their journey of following the star would not have been easy. These wise men lost some sleep, tired, worn out. It was a demanding and difficult trip. It's an exhausting journey. But look at how the story ends. Matthew 2, 11 through 12 tells us on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him, and then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. In other words, the Magi, though they were tired, though they lost sleep, they found Jesus. And when they found Jesus, they worshiped Jesus. And that's what I want you to notice. Everybody in this story, Mary loses sleep, but she adores Jesus and ponders everything that's happening in her heart. The shepherds return rejoicing and glorifying. The Magi are worshiping and praising him. You know, sometimes when I lose sleep, I get grouchy. I don't know about you, but you know, it's not like we're reading this story, you know, Joseph lost sleep, so he kicked the donkey in the leg, you know, lost his temper. We don't read that. Maybe it's not in there. It doesn't say that Mary then kicked Joseph in the leg, you know, because she was frustrated. It doesn't say the shepherds broke a staff over their leg or that the Magi were throwing frankincense and myrrh at each other in a temper tantrum. It doesn't say that. Instead, everybody who encounters Jesus, they're changed by him. They're worshiping him. They're praising him. First they see him, then they praise him, and then they share him with others. That's the Christmas story. It's this. It's see him, praise him, share him. That's what Christmas is about. What do you do when Christmas, you're so tired of Christmas? You see Jesus and you praise him and you share him. Simple as that. See him, praise him, share him. Can you say that with me? See him, praise him, share him. Let's say it again. We see him, praise him, we share him. That's one of the reasons why we even had these bells, these ringing these little bells created that you could pick up on your way out today. One per family. You can take it with you, hang it on a tree, use it however you would like. Because we want to ring the good news. We want to share it with other people. We want to see Jesus, praise Him, and share Him with others. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what the shepherds did. Look at their example. It's found for us here in Luke chapter 2. When they had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So they saw Him, they shared Him, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They saw Him and they praised Him and they shared Him with others. That's our challenge for you. Why did they do this? Because Jesus is the Messiah. He's God in the flesh. He's the Savior who came to save us from our sins. He's the Prince of Peace who's made peace between us and God and peace between us and one another. Jesus came to change our lives, to free us from sin, to deliver us from death. That's why He came. So if you lose sleep at Christmas, which you will, it's okay if you find Jesus. Otherwise, you'll go through the busyness of Christmas and you'll lose sleep like everybody else does who's celebrating Christmas. But on the backside, they'll wonder if it was all worth it. And what was the real purpose? And where is the real meaning? And they'll be in a constant search for what brings fulfillment. This is why people say, I'm trying to find myself. Why are they saying that? Because they haven't found Jesus. You see, here's an important truth you need to know at Christmas. When you find Jesus, you get found too. When you find Jesus, you find purpose and you find meaning and you find a reason for celebrating. When you find Jesus, you get found too. Other people are losing sleep at Christmas, but it's because they feel guilt and they experience shame and they're exhausted and they're burdened, but they don't have the joy of Jesus. You see, it's worth losing sleep at Christmas if you find Jesus. Jesus told a story in Luke 15 about a young man who turned his back on God, on his father, and went his own way. And it wasn't until he came to his senses and came back to his father, came back to Father God, that he found life and meaning and purpose. And the father said, he was lost, but now he's found. When you find Jesus, you get found too. You see, you are lost without Jesus. You're lost in your sins. Without Jesus, we lose everything. Without Jesus, we lose everything at Christmas. We can be so preoccupied with the traditions and the decorations of Christmas, and we focus on presents and sales and shopping and decorating and family picture taking and meal preparation and travel plans and gift giving and family get-togethers. But somehow in all of that, if you miss Jesus, then you'll be worn out and tired. But you'll miss the joy and the fulfillment and the rejoicing that comes with Jesus. That's why it's so sad that the religious leaders who were in Jerusalem, just miles from Bethlehem, who knew the prophecies, the very same religious leaders who would tell the Magi who were traveling through where they could find Jesus, and the Magi went and found Him, but they didn't. They were so busy with their lives, they missed Jesus. And when you miss Jesus, you miss everything. This is why our prayer for you this Christmas is that you would see Him, you would see Jesus, and you would praise Him just like you are tonight. You would praise Jesus, and then you would share Jesus with others. That is the hope of Christmas. It's worth losing sleep over. Jeremiah 29:13, Jesus said, or the scripture says, you will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. This is God speaking to us. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. We must look for Jesus, see Him, praise Him, and share Him with others. The reason why is for this reason. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He, or whoever has the Son, has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you want to experience life and fulfillment and purpose and meaning at Christmas, it's going to be found in the Son of God. It's going to be found in Jesus. It's going to be found in this one who was born and placed in a manger. If I want you to look at this picture on the screen, You probably see two things in the picture. First of all, tell me something you see. What's one symbol? A cross. What's the other? A manger. You really, anytime you see a manger, that manger should always be overshadowed by the cross. Our world can be comfortable celebrating the birth of a baby as long as we don't really get into why he came. Why? Because they don't want to face their own mortality. They don't want to face their own brokenness. They don't want to face their own sin. Don't ever look at a manger without also thinking of the cross. It was the whole reason he came. The reason for the birth was so that God could put on flesh. Why? So he could become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. It was the plan of God that he himself would take upon himself what was due us. He would be our ransom, exchanging his life for ours. He'd become our substitute. He would come and give his life. That's why at a Christmas Eve service where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're taking a moment right now to reflect on a cross. We're going to do that by taking and sharing together in this communion, eating bread that represents the broken body of Jesus, drinking a cup of juice representing the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us. And we're going to remember the sacrifice of Jesus because we would not dare think of his birth without thinking of why he came. And so we're going to sing. I'm going to ask that our servers that are helping us with those who can't get out of their seats, if you go ahead and go grab a tray of communion. Here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to sing about this Messiah. And we're just going to be seated as we start singing. And some of our servers are going to come down the row. And if you're unable to get out of your seat, if that'd be difficult for you, just raise your hand and they'll serve you right where you sit. And you can take some bread, take the cup, and just hold on to it so you can take it when you're ready. And once our servers have done that for those who need to stay in their seats, Corey will invite you to stand as we're singing. And when that song is over, just all around the room, you can see these stations all across the front. We've got stations all across the back. And we want to just invite you to go to a station, get up out of your seat, move to that place to remember what Jesus did for you and partake of that communion together. And so let's remember him. This Jesus, Jesus, we praise you, we thank you for what you have done. The greatest gift that could have ever been given to us, we receive in Jesus. And we want to see you today. We want to praise you today. And we want to share you with others. And we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, our servers will come. Just raise your hand if you need to be served where you are.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.